Hi, my name is Paul Grogan, and welcome to episode 64 of the All New Gaming Rules podcast. This episode is an audio version of the monthly video log that went out in February 2024. A big thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making these episodes possible, and if you want to support the channel, you can do so at patreon.com/gamingrules. And now, on with the show. In this video, I'll be talking about all of the games that I've played in the month, as well as an update on the channel, everything that's coming new over the next few weeks, and all of the usual stuff. Now, I'm recording this on the last day of February. It is Thursday, the 29th of February. I'm hoping to get this video log edited this afternoon and out very soon, but it feels like it's been a really long month. It's been the shortest month of the year so far, and it will be the shortest month of the year, but it actually feels like it's been really long. Because I feel that I've played a lot of games and I've got a lot of things to talk about. So this may be a long video log, or if you're listening to this podcast, it may be a long podcast. Strap in, settle in, get your cup of coffee, get your cup of tea, whatever. I will put all of the chapters in the video so you can skip to the relevant parts. But one of the things that I wanted to say, first of all, is the contest. So as I mentioned last month, I've started something new with these video logs, that each video log I'm going to be doing a giveaway. I'll mention the contest more in detail later on, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something different. So if you want to enter the contest, there is a link to it in the description of this video, but you also need to leave me a comment on this video. Tell me which of the games that I talk about in this video log are your favourite. And if none of the games that I talk about in this video log are your favourite, then just pick one. But if you do that and then you enter the contest, yeah, you'll get a chance to win the game of this month. And as I say, we'll go into more details on that later on. So first of all, let's start talking about all of the games that I've played in the month. And as I say, this is going to be a bumper month. And let's get this out there right at the start, just for those people that are new to my channel, that haven't seen any of my video logs before. You will know that I do a lot of paid sponsorship content. I create tutorial videos, I do playthrough videos, and a lot of the videos that I do are sponsored by publishers. As such, you won't find any of my opinions in those videos, but around the middle of last year, I had a bit of a personal thing going on, and I decided, I tell you what, I've got stuff that I want to say. I'm going to be more honest about the games in these video logs. Now, some people might think that's wrong, but life's too short, and I've made a decision. So you are going to find, generally speaking, some of my personal feelings about the games in this video log that I won't mention in the other videos. That's because this video is not sponsored in any way. This video, and I've taken pretty much today off work, is only thanks to the support of my Patreon campaign. So a huge thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making these videos possible. And yeah, let's talk about Galactic Cruise. So Galactic Cruise, I am professionally involved in this game. It is a new game that is coming out. It's coming to Kickstarter next week on the 4th of March. So possibly it's already on Kickstarter by the time you're watching this video. I don't know. As I say, I hope to get this video out today or tomorrow. But it is a new game from Kinson Key Games. It looks very much like a Lacerda game. And if you didn't know that it wasn't a Vital Lacerda game, you would see the game and you would play the game and you would think it's a Vital Lacerda game. But it's not. It does have Ian O'Toole's trademark graphic design and artwork and everything else, which is part of the reason why it looks like a Lacerda game, but it's also of a similar weight and complexity. So I'm professionally involved in this. I've done some rulebook consultancy on it. So I didn't write or edit the rulebook. I just did some consultancy on it. I've done a sponsored tutorial and playthrough video. And I am also signed up to do the official how to play video for the game when it comes out, which will either be at the very end of this year or hopefully near the start of 2025. That said, this is one of the best games that I have ever played. This is absolutely fantastic. This completely and utterly blew me away with how good it was. And as such, I've actually played it 5 times this month, which is a lot for a game, considering I have to cover a lot of games on the channel. But the first time I played it, was when I did the rulebook consultancy. So one day, and in fact, it was the 1st of February, I did the rulebook consultancy in the morning where I basically sat down and tried to learn the game from the rulebook. It was one of the best rulebooks that I have ever read. It was very, very well structured. And I was, for a heavy game, I was relatively easily able to work out how to play the game. Then a couple of friends came over in the afternoon and we actually tried playing the game to put the rulebook to the test, to see if anything happened in the game that wasn't clear in the rulebook. Now, I say it was one of the best rulebooks that I've ever read. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't finished. I have done that day's consultancy for them. I gave them about 20, 25 bits of feedback. A couple of them were major, but a lot of them were quite minor. And since then, having played it a few more times, I've fed back to them. They have been improving that rulebook, so I think pretty much now it is finished. I did that on that day. Then I played it at a local convention. I'll talk about the local convention in a minute, but I played it twice there. Then I played it once downstairs, two player. And then we did the live playthrough. So the live playthrough of it, which is on the channel now, if you're interested, that is a video which is on the channel right now. That is the last time I've played it, but I am actually scheduled to play it again fairly soon because it's astonishingly good. Apart from saying it's one of the best games ever that I've played, why is it? Well, it's got a great theme and the theme is nicely integrated into the mechanism. So a lot of the mechanisms in the game, when you actually explain it, it actually makes sense. So for example, one of the things that you're doing in the game is that, well, the main thing that you're doing in the game is you're building these shuttles. It's in the future and you're launching people into space to, you know, fire them into the sun to get rid of them. No, you're not. That's a different game completely. You are, basically it's called Galactic Cruise. You are doing cruises in space. And when they are on their journey in space, sometimes they have a day in space where they are traveling between destinations, just like real cruises. And on those days, the people don't get off the ship and go anywhere. They actually stay on the ship, which means the type of rooms that you have on the ship are important when it is a day in space. Makes sense. And then when they arrive at a destination, it's nothing to do with the rooms on your ship. It's actually the destination that's the important thing. And that's actually the most complicated part of the game, is the cruises and the days in space and everything else. And, you know, it's great once you understand it and you can explain the theme behind it. So anyway, thematically, I think it is well integrated. It's got a good weight. It's not too heavy for me. It's just one of those games that clicked. And I know some people are going to play this game and it's not going to click for them. But for me, it absolutely clicked straight away. And I just really enjoyed it. And almost everybody that I've played it with has gone, yeah, this game is really, really good. Anyway, I've played it 5 times in the month and I think it's utterly fantastic. I haven't tried the solo mode yet. I've heard very good things about it. Mark Dainty from Not Board Gaming did a video on the solo mode, which I will link to in the description of the video. And I actually do have some more coverage for it coming up in March, which I'll talk about later on. Right, then Full Board Gaming. So on the 2nd of February, I headed off to a local convention. It's a new convention run by a good friend of ours, Matt Prowse. And it was 3 days in a Torquay hotel. Wasn't Fawlty Towers, very disappointing. It was great. It was 3 days away at a local convention. And the reason why it's called Full Board Gaming is that it's a residential con. You can't, if you're a local person, you can't just turn up and buy a day ticket. You have to stay at the hotel because all of the food is all included. And the food was astonishingly good. I'd heard through the grapevine that the food was good, but I didn't realise it was that good. It was superb, possibly some of the best hotel food that I've ever had. It was really, really good. The hotel was just way too warm. I mean, literally, I probably lost so much weight over the weekend just from, yeah, the temperature in the hotel. And we've spoken to them about this and hopefully they're going to get some fans in next year or something. It was just way too warm constantly. Everywhere you went was just really warm. But I played some great games over the weekend. And the games that I played were, and I talked about this a little bit at the end of last video log, because I'd pretty much planned all of the games that I've played. Sky Mines. So I played Sky Mines on the Friday afternoon, and I also played this later in the month on Yukata. So there is now an online implementation of Sky Mines on Yukata, actually created by one of my Patreon supporters, Henning. Done a great job with it. I love Sky Mines. I think it's an absolutely fantastic game. This is the Alexander Pfister game that is a re-implementation of Mombasa that was my favourite game of 2015, I think it was. And Sky Mines is just an extraordinarily good game, and I love it. Now, interestingly enough, I've talked earlier on about Galactic Cruise, and I think Sky Mines is actually a bit heavier. People might disagree with me. Let me know what you think. But in terms of the amount of rules and the amount of complexity, I felt Galactic Smooth was actually a little bit smoother and simpler than Sky Mines. But anyway, Sky Mines is very good. I really, really enjoy it. And as I say, I've played it twice in that month. One thing I haven't played with yet is I haven't played with the B-side. So Sky Mines comes with an A-side and a B-side. And I've still never used the B-side of the board. And that's pretty much because every game that I've played of it has been with new players. So we're always using the A-side of the board. And I think the only one time I played it where it wasn't new players is I hadn't played it in ages. And I went, I'm not comfortable with using the B-side of the board. I want to just stick with the A-side. If I played it again now, this month or next month, I'd probably want to use the B-side. But if you've played the B-side, let me know. If you've played Sky Mines and you've played both the A-side and the B-side, let me know what you think about the B-side. Is it worth playing? Is it a sufficiently different game? Is it better? Is it worse? I don't know. Also, that day, because the convention didn't start until the afternoon, so in the evening, I played Evenfall. And this is my second play of Evenfall. I have covered it on the channel already, and I've covered Sky Mines as well. But if you want to see Evenfall on the channel, you can. I did it near the end of last year. I'm still undecided about this game. I've played it twice. I've loved it both times. But how good is it? Because at some point later this year, I'm going to be recording my top 10 games of 2023. Is Evenfall going to be in there? I don't know. I've played it twice and it was great. I really enjoyed both games of it. And I think there's a really good game in there. I just don't know how good compared to all of the other games. So it's like I kind of need to play it at least, I don't know, one, two more times. But I don't know, is my opinion going to change on it? I don't know. I know the first time I played it, and I actually, if this was a live stream on the channel, and I think the publisher was watching us as we were playing it, and I said, this game needs an expansion set. Now, I'm not saying it needed an expansion set because what we played wasn't good enough, but what we played was so good, and I was enjoying it so much, and it's full of cards, all with special abilities, I could straight away see, if this had an expansion set, it would be more cards, more variability, and more stuff. So, yeah, that's Evenfall. Again, I do want to know what you think about this game. A lot of people watch these video logs, but very few people actually leave me a comment. So, what do you think about Evenfall? Let me know. Because, yeah, I really liked it. I just don't know how much I liked it compared to all of the other games. On the Saturday, I played Voidfall in the morning. This was a pre-arranged game. It was a four-player epic game. It was a one-hour setup followed by a four-hour game. And it's totally worth it. If you are in the camp that says Voidfall takes too long to set up, it's not worth it, that's fine. I understand that because it is a long setup. It is one of the downsides of the game, but it is necessary evil in order to be able to play the game. But what a game. It was, yeah, through Altered Space, I think it was, four-player competitive scenario. Almost got the win. JP beat me by 1 point. Still don't know how he did it because he was so far behind in cycle two. But anyway, it was a really, really good game. Now, what was interesting about the game is that there was no PvP combat at all in the game. And again, this is another fair criticism of the game. If you want a game where you are going to be fighting other players constantly, it's not that. We played a full game. There was no PvP combat. Now, if that sounds really boring, Voidfall is a different style of game. There is this constant threat of PvP combat. And the only reason there wasn't is that I did something near the end of the game and built up some defences that basically stopped another player attacking me because they were about to. And that's what the game is. It's about this tension of, well, there could be a conflict growing and well, I think they're going to attack me. And if they do, they're going to win. So I need to build up my defences. And then they say, oh, he's built up his defences. I now can't attack him unless I do this. And the other thing is that there's always other things to do on the board. Unlike, say, for example, Twilight Imperium, in Voidfall, the board is filled with baddies right at the start. And there's plenty of opportunities for you to be attacking the Voidborn fleet, gaining points that way. So, yeah, you don't actually need to do that. Now, it, as I say, it's possibly my favourite game of all time. It might actually topple Mage Knight for being my number one game of all time. I love it so much. And yeah, it's a different style of game to your Twilight Imperiums in that I am totally happy playing that game for 4 hours and doing what I do and not fighting another player. It's not to say that there isn't any interaction because, as I say, there is this threat. You have to take it all into account. but you might not actually have a battle with another player. It's fine. Still plenty of other battles to have. So yeah, so that was Voidfall. In the afternoon, we played Steam Power. Now, Steam Power is a new game that's coming from Martin Wallace. And it's actually, I think right now, at the time of recording this video, it's on Kickstarter. And I think there's like 3 days left or 4 days left. But I played it that weekend for the first time ever. So I got a prototype copy of the game and I took it with me to the convention and I took the rule book with me and I'd read through the rule book the day before because it's a fairly simple game. So I figured that, you know, I don't need to do any full read of practice or anything like that. I'll just go along to the convention. I'll read through the rules, you know, the day before and then we'll play the game. Now, I have covered Steam Power on the channel, so if you are interested in seeing how the game plays, you can go and check out that video. And this is another one that I'm professionally involved in. I'm helping them with the rulebook, I've done that video, and I'm involved with some other of Martin's designs as well. My thoughts on the game, it was unusual. It was not what I was expecting. So I was expecting a kind of Age of Steam Light. And there are certain people out there who have called it an Age of Steam Light, and I can see why, because you are... It looks the same. It's hexes, and in fact, the Rust Belt map is pretty much the same as in the Age of Steam. And you are placing rails on the board, and you are building routes between cities. But unlike in Age of Steam, you're not like picking up goods, moving them across links, and the more links you move them through, your income goes up. Although you kind of are. In this game, you're building factories, and the factories come with resources, whereas in Age of Steam, the things that you're moving around on the board are fixed. They are on the board. They don't belong to any player, and as players, you're just moving them around to try and get points. In this game, you're actually building the factories, and the factories, when you build them, come with a certain amount of goods. And then one of the things that you can do is you have these contracts, and you fulfill these contracts by moving the goods around, and if you use other people's tracks, you have to pay them in order to fulfill the contracts. So it's a different type of game. Now, there are also some people who have said, this is just Age of Steam Lite. There is no point me getting it if I have Age of Steam. And I would like to answer that because that is a valid point of view. However, Steam Power is a 1 hour game, maybe an hour and a quarter. So it's actually a different game. It gives a different experience. It's a similar experience, but it isn't just the same experience, so why would I get Steam Power? I'm not trying to persuade you to buy the game. I'm just trying to get across that it is a different style of game. And if you're in the camp that says, I would never ever play that instead of Age of Steam, sure, if you had 3 hours free in an evening and you love Age of Steam, go and play Age of Steam. But for me, it's an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half game. So if I wanted a similar feel of game, just shorter and lighter and more streamlined, then I think Steam Power fits that bill. For me, personally. And there's going to be other maps and everything else. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that again. In fact, I'm trying to think if I have played it again or was that my only play of it? For some reason, in my head, I think I've played this more than once. Oh, I have played it more than once. I did the live playthrough. So I played it at the convention. And that was the practice game, the learning game, and then I did it on the channel. So again, that video is on the channel if you want to head over and watch that. Also on the Saturday afternoon, and I won't talk about these too much, we played Just One and Secret Identity, both fun party games, both great, both a lot of fun. I've spoken about them loads on the channel before. Just One, lots and lots of people know about, and Secret Identity, I think he's great, and I've spoken about that before on the channel, but they were good. Right, on the Sunday was Galactic Cruise Day. Now, I've already gushed about Galactic Cruise so much, but what I will say is that in the afternoon on the Sunday, I was due to play Plantanubo. I'd arranged it in advance. I had already found players. Plantanubo is a game from 2023 that I've only played once, and it was really good, and I need to play it again to see how good it was. But I didn't, because I played Galactic Cruise in the morning, and I loved it so much, I said to everybody in the afternoon, do you want to play Galactic Cruise instead? Few reasons. First of all, I loved the game. I think it was fantastic. Second, I knew the rules of Galactic Cruise absolutely 100% because I played it already a few times and I was very clear on it. Plantanubo, I have played. It would have been more work for me to relearn it and then teach it. And Galactic Cruise was still set up on the table. So I persuaded them because they were like, well, we don't care what we play. We, you know, if you're saying Galactic Cruise is a good game, we'll play that instead of Planet Nubo. So we did. So that's why I played it twice that weekend. In the evening, because Mark and Sally were at this convention, and Vicky was as well, we got together and we did one scenario of Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle-earth. Now, we're on our second campaign of it. It's the campaign that comes with the, not the Spreading War expansion, the Mirkwood expansion. I can't remember what it's called. But we did like scenario 3, which is it's a fun scenario. It only took us about 45 minutes. I think it took us longer to set the game up than it did to play. But this is the scenario where you go into Celeborn's lair in Lothlorien, or wherever is it, Lothlorien? I can't remember. Anyway, you go in and you dance with the elves and you try to talk to them. It's a social scenario. There's no fighting or anything else. You're just going around and talking to the elves, and the elves are a bit grumpy, and Gimli ended up dancing with the elves, and the elves liked what Gimli was doing, and that was it. It was what we needed for that night, because we'd agreed to play it, but a lot of us were very tired. Then, what's next? Right, that's it. That's it for Full Board Gaming. Yeah, I did actually teach a game of Explorers of Nevoria that night, but I didn't play in that myself. So on the next thing I've got in my diary is Friday the 9th, Steam Power. So that's the day where I actually did the tutorial and playthrough that I've mentioned earlier on. Now, a strange thing happened. Well, not strange, but a funny thing happened after the game of Steam Power. As I've mentioned, Steam Power is not a long game. So at the time we'd finished the game, we headed downstairs and there was a couple of people downstairs playing another game. Now, Mythwind has arrived. So in this month, I got my advanced copy of Mythwind because I'm going to be covering it on the channel at some point. I'm actually going to be covering it or at the end of March. More on that later. But anyway, Mythwind is a very different style of game. And since it arrived and since I'd done the unboxing and since I started reading about it, I couldn't get it off my mind because I'm like, I don't really understand what this game is. And I spoke about this when I did the unboxing video, is that this game might be unbelievably brilliant, or it might just be, what? Is this even a game? What are we doing here? And I've been really curious about it, and I've been watching the Board Game Coffee videos by Mark Meyer, the tutorial videos, which are amazing, really, really good. And I've been reading through the rule books, and I was very, very keen to actually dive in. No, in fact, I hadn't been reading the rule books or watching the video. Ignore that. Scrap that. Rewind. Edit that bit out. I didn't do that whatsoever. I didn't watch the videos. I didn't read the rule books. Because what happened is, went downstairs after Steam Power. Rob and Becky had finished playing their game. So I said, look, we've got about an hour to an hour and a half. I've just had this new game arrive called Mythwind. I don't know how to play. I haven't read any of the rule books. But would you be interested in spending the next hour helping me learn how to play this game? And everybody agreed. I mean, I did have to persuade them with a Jaffa Cake. And we spent about an hour and a half. And the thing is with Mythwind, it's an asymmetric game where each player has their own effective rulebook. So I said, look, we'll get out the main rulebook and we'll read just the introduction. And then we're all going to learn this game together. And we did. And it was actually quite funny. It went on a little bit longer than expected and people didn't leave till 11:30. But, yeah. And I played the Crafter. And Rob played the Ranger, and Robert played the Farmer, and Becky played the Merchant. And it was interesting. And that was my first exposure to the game. Because, as I said, the truth about that story is not the bit about me reading the rule books and watching the videos first. I did that later. The videos are still fantastic, by the way. It was the fact that I couldn't get this game off my mind because I was so curious to see what it was about. So that was that. That was my first introduction. We played like 3 turns. That was it. We just got a feel for the game, but we didn't really get into the meat of the game at all. But that weekend I persuaded Vicky to play. So we sat down on Sunday afternoon and Vicky played the Farmer and I played the Crafter, and we actually played through one season of it. Now, by this point, I have now read through the rule books and I have watched the videos. So I knew a lot more about the game. I'm also active on the Discord server, and I found a few things. There's a few bits of errata that are needed and a few tweaks that are needed to the game. But I sat down with Vicky and we've played through one season. So I now know what Mythwind is. I haven't explored that much of it, but I now actually understand what the game is, and I am less confused about the game. And I have to say that it is as described. This is a strange game. It's a cozy game. There's no pressure, there's no stress, and it's very similar to the computer games where you're a farmer and you plant crops and the crops grow and you harvest the crops and you gain some money. Right? Yeah, that's it. Now, if you like your competitive, heavy Euros or whatever, this might not be the kind of game for you, but they're the games I like. And this game is a breath of fresh air. And all credit to the designers and the publishers for creating this game. And what makes me really happy about this game is that we are now living in a world, in the board gaming world, where we can have games like this. Games do not need to be all, right, this is a competitive game where we're all trying to get the most victory points by moving cubes up a track, right? It's good that we have such different games out there. And Mythwind is doing something very different. It might not be for you, but I'm looking forward to diving into it a bit more and actually seeing what's going to be happening with it. Now, I am due to cover it in March. So what's going to happen is at some point next month, Becky and Emily are going to come round and we're going to play an entire year, so four seasons, ourselves, all in preparation for doing the video. And we're going to be doing a live stream at the end of March. So if you're curious to know more about Mythwind, then I will be doing a live playthrough of the game where we talk about it and we show you how the game plays at the end of March, because they are going back to Kickstarter for another version with some updates and some additional content. If you want to know more about it in the meantime, definitely check out Mark Meyer's Board Game Coffee videos, because they're very good. On Monday the 12th of February, JP came over and we played Imperium Horizons. Now, this is on the channel now. Imperium Horizons is the third box in the Imperium series. It is a standalone expansion. In fact, it's not even really an expansion. It's a standalone game. You can mix it with the other ones, but yeah, it's a standalone game. And this is the one where it's a bigger box. They've got 14 civilizations in the box instead of the 8 that are in the other two. It's got a completely new rule book. It's got some player boards which are actually really helpful and tell you sort of where things go. And it's also got the trade routes module, which is a new thing. So Imperium is a really interesting game because the game is amazingly clever. It is Nigel Buckle and David Turtsey, the two designers of Voidfall. They work really well together. And Imperium, honestly, is such an amazing, clever game. It's very, very, just very well designed. It's just a bit too long. And that's my only problem with the game, is that a two-player game, and that stream was about 2.5 hours. Now, it was a stream. I know a stream is always going to be longer, but it's a shame that the game isn't 45 minutes to an hour. And it's not. It's a two-hour game. But yeah, Imperium is an extremely clever game and it's very, very asymmetric. There's 30 different factions now to play. Now, if you're like me and you think, oh, I'm going to play this faction today, and then next week I might play this faction, the game doesn't lend itself to this. One of the downsides of the game, and I'm not going to say that this is a criticism, really, it's just, it's a feature of the game. Because the game is so cleverly designed, each faction is designed to work in a specific way. And when you start looking under the bonnet of this game and you look at the amount of time and effort that's gone into designing it and designing every card for every faction so that it works in a particular way, it's just amazing. And I'm blown away by the amount of effort and time that's just gone into this game. But what that means is you can't just pick up a faction and go, oh, I'm going to play this one. And sort of work out how it plays while you're playing it. You need to play the same faction or civilization a few times to get used to it and to get the hang of it. And if you do that, great. And I know a few people, including JP, who absolutely love this game and has played it enough to be able to understand, right, I now understand how this civilization works. I'm supposed to be doing that and doing that and doing that. And unfortunately, I don't have the time to commit to it. But if I did, I would seriously be enjoying this game a lot. So yeah, so that's Imperium Horizons. Extremely clever game. Yeah, just really, really good. But then in the evening, JP stayed over for the evening because Vicky was out, and we played Earthborn Rangers. Now, I've talked about Earthborn Rangers before. We actually live streamed this for patron supporters. So if you're a patron supporter of mine, you had a bonus live stream that night where me and JP played Earthborn Rangers. Why wasn't it a public stream? The reason why it wasn't a public stream is because it was very rough. I didn't really fully know how to play, so it was very, very rough around the edges, and I didn't feel comfortable with it being a public stream. I may be doing some public content for this game at some point in the future, and I didn't feel that, you know, me fumbling my way through the rules and not really knowing what I was doing would be suitable. So we did that as a Patreon-only stream, but I can now tell you my thoughts on Earthborn Rangers after having played the tutorial 2.5 times and now actually having started the campaign. So, we started the campaign. Now, we skipped the tutorial because I'd already played it. I brought JP up to speed and I said, look, this is what happened in the tutorial, but off we go. And without giving too many spoilers away, we played one day of the campaign. The campaign has a maximum of 30 days. And it starts off with a story that you get a mission to deliver some biscuits. Yes, you heard it right. And our job was to go somewhere and find somebody who had the biscuits. Then we had to take the biscuits to another location and we had to deliver the biscuits. Or, in other words, when the basket of biscuits was empty, we completed the quest. It didn't matter that I ate most of the biscuits myself rather than actually delivering them. That didn't matter. But anyway, that's what we did. So it starts off, it's a campaign driven game, and it starts off and there is this story, which is to deliver these biscuits. But after we delivered the biscuits, that was it. There was no other campaign story. Now, I think there is. I think when you get to day 3 or 4, there is an event that happens and the actual main storyline of the game starts. However, after we delivered the biscuits mission, there was no other campaign story mission to do. But, and I'm getting round to what I'm trying to say, which is, this is an open world game. And I don't think that I've ever seen a game as open worldy as this. Tainted Grail had it a little bit, but there was still a massive main storyline. In this, after we'd finished delivering the biscuits and it said, right, that mission is now done, you might be thinking, well, what was there to do? But this is a world. You have this map. You can travel around this world wherever you want to go. And wherever you go, there are places to see. There are people to visit. Those people might give you quests. So even though we'd finished delivering the biscuits and that mission was done, we actually had a couple of other missions. There was a guy, there was a fisherman, who said, oh, the fish around here, all the fish have gone. Take me over here. I want to go and find a better fishing spot. Take me to this place. Okay, it's like a side quest. And there's loads of them. So the entire game and the entire world that you're exploring is filled with these little side quests that you do, which aren't part of the main storyline, but they are just things to do in the world. And it was great. And suddenly, at the end of that game, I wanted to say, don't go home, JP. Stay here for another 48 hours and let's just play this game constantly, because I wanted to just start exploring this game. I really liked the idea of, like, well, we don't actually have a big overriding mission now. Shall we just go over there? Yeah. And we actually did. We went somewhere. Again, I won't give too many spoilers away. And we met this scientist. And this scientist said, oh yeah, I'm looking for some information on some ancient ruins. If you can find some ancient ruins, do something and come back to me. Great. It's a side quest. And only if you'd have gone to this place would you have got that mission. And it was quite hard to get to this place. And I think some people might have played this game and finished the main campaign and not actually got this side quest because they didn't go to this location. So suddenly I'm faced with this big world where there's loads of things to do in it and it's mine to explore. And that was great. But as I say, I think without giving too many spoilers away, I think on about day 3 or 4, there is an event, and there is actually a main campaign storyline in it, because I know Derek from Kanjay Studios, he's played through the entire campaign, and I think he did it in like day 19 or something like that. So he's finished the main storyline, but in addition to the main storyline, there's plenty of other things to do. Earthbound Rangers. It could be utterly amazing. I need to explore it more. I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. I just need to get more time to play it. Right, next, on the 13th of February, I've logged a game of Pathfinder Adventure Card Game on Tabletop Simulator, which I didn't play in myself. I GM'd it. Now, Pathfinder Adventure Card Game is a dead card game from Paizo. I say it's dead. They kind of rebooted it in 2019 and it didn't really take off. So they have announced, that's it, the line is over, we're not doing any more for it, but I really like the game. And I say I GM'd it, basically I hosted a 4-player game of it, because this game has been scratching at me. I really want to play more of this game, and I had a free evening, and I got 4 of my Patreon supporters together, and I said, look, if you want to play the game, I will happily host the game, I'll facilitate the game, I will effectively GM the game. But there is, you don't need a GM for this game. It is a card-driven, very RPG-light adventure-style game where you don't need a GM. But because I really liked the game, I was more than happy to host that. So we played Scenario 1 from Dragon's Demand, and yeah, they didn't succeed. In fact, it went all horribly wrong right on the first turn. It was hilarious. Paul was playing this big, tough barbarian. And this barbarian went to this location and uncovered these magical runes. The very, very first card that he turned over was these magical runes that caused him to become scared, or caused her to become scared. She was a female barbarian. So she had this condition card, which was just absolutely awful. It meant she was taking all of this mental trauma damage every turn that she found a monster. And her character was all about finding the monsters and beating up the monsters. So, yeah, it did not go well. There was a few other things as well that went wrong in the game. But, yeah, it was good fun, and I'm really happy that we played it. And, again, it's another game that I just want to play more of. So that's Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. Then, on the 15th, it was the local Cranbrook Games Group. And we went along, and for the first time in a very long time, I didn't have a game that I needed to play. Quite often, I will go along on a Thursday night and I will take with me the game which I am due to cover on the Friday. And I will say to people, look, I need to play this game because I need to practice it before I do it on the channel the next day. And because I had something else planned for the 16th, which I'll come to in a minute, I actually had a free night. So I was like, well, okay, well, what do I want to play? Well, I'm not sure. So somebody was saying, oh, I'm going to play Lost Ruins of Arnak. And I'm like, well, I love Lost Ruins of Arnak. Sure, I'll join you. Let's do something different. Rather than me taking a game and me teaching a game, we'll play Lost Ruins of Arnak. And it wasn't even my copy. And it was actually the base game because somebody hadn't played before. And I'm fine with the base game. I'm somebody who thinks Lost Ruins of Arnak is a great game. The expansions make it better. But the base game is still perfectly good enough. Now, I was concerned that we weren't going to get the game finished in time, and we potentially might have gone to 4 players. There was 3 of us, but we may have potentially gone to 4 players, and I thought, oh, I'm not sure we're going to get it done in time. Somebody's new. We're going to have to do a bit of a teach with 4 players. Not sure. Let's restrict it to 3. Anyway, it turns out the guy who hadn't played before had played on Board Game Arena. And although he'd played on Board Game Arena, he says, look, I'm so used to playing this game on Board Game Arena, I don't really know how the physical game works, so, you know, I'm going to need some help with it. Turns out he was absolutely fine and didn't really need a teach at all. And an hour and a quarter later, we'd finished. And that was it. So we said, should we play again? So we played again. So we actually got 2 full games of Lost Ruins of Arnak in. It was just... We just all played really quickly. I was probably the slowest one with my normal AP decision. But yeah, and then we played a quick game of Codenames afterwards. So yeah, Lost Ruins of Arnak, 2 games, very happy about that. Then on the 16th, this is on the channel now if you want to see it. This is a Kickstarter playthrough video for a game called Dante Inferno, which is currently on Kickstarter and it's raised about 1.5 million. This is, so we had a prototype copy of the game. So Mark Monk from Ninja Geek Games, he got a prototype copy of this game. It was all arranged through me. They wanted to send it to me. I didn't have time with everything that I had going on, but I agreed with Mark that Mark would get the game, Mark would learn the game, Mark would play the game, practice the game, and then we would actually do a playthrough of it on the channel, and Mark would come over and Mark would handle most of the teach. So what happened is Mark came over in the afternoon and we played through the adventure phase of the game. This is a game that's divided into various chapters, and each chapter starts off with a narrative-driven adventure mode where you're traveling around a map, reading lots of story, making some decisions, and then you end up in a boss battle. And the decisions that you make in the first part is going to affect what equipment you get and how things go in the boss battle. We stream that to Patreon supporters. If you're a Patreon supporter of mine, you would have seen the adventure phase mode played in the afternoon. But then in the evening, that was a public live playthrough. So that's on the channel now if you want to see that. It was a very interesting playthrough because when we are covering games on the channel, those games are in each game is in a different state of development. So if we refer back to Galactic Cruise, which I covered earlier on in the month, that was a finished game. It was all absolutely finished. The rules are done. The game is finished. They might make some tweaks to the graphic design, but other than that, the game is done. Dante was not done. They're still developing it. And in fact, we drew a card in the middle of the live playthrough, which was still in Portuguese. We also drew another card that said, placeholder text, placeholder text, placeholder text. So it was a bit of fun, and the designers were watching and they had a laugh as well. And we just said, shall we just get rid of that card and draw a new one? And he's like, yeah, let's do that. It was a bit unusual that that card was actually still included in the prototype and hadn't been taken out. But anyway, it was a fun playthrough, and four of us played through it. And the boss battle apart is quite interesting. It's got like 3D terrain, and you've got this big boss. And one of the things which was, I think, unique to this game, or at least not something I've come across, is it was going around picking up the furniture and throwing the furniture around. So the rules of the way that the boss battle works is a lot of the AI cards that the boss uses are all picking up the actual players, because this boss is huge and the players are, you know, quite small. And quite often it was King Minos, he was picking us up, grabbing us, throwing us against walls. At one point there was a card that says if it's holding two characters, it literally bashes their heads together. So in terms of it being a cinematic fight, you can actually feel and see how, oh yeah, he's picking these pillars up and smashing them on the floor and things that and the other. It was interesting. I'd definitely check out the video if you're interested in that kind of thing. I think there were a few parts of the game that are still being tweaked. In fact, we actually found out about a rule which Mark hadn't been told and wasn't in the rule book that he sent. But just before we went live, we went downstairs and watched somebody else's playthrough video, and they were using a rule, and we're like, well, that's a rule we didn't know about. So we spoke to the designers quickly and they said, oh yeah, use that new rule. So it was clear to us that the game is definitely still being tweaked. It's still in development. And if you are interested in it, check out the Kickstarter page for all of the latest information. Next up, Aeon Trespass Odyssey, which I haven't spoken about for a month. So regular viewers of mine will know that for the last 7 months, 8 months, I've been playing through Aeon Trespass Odyssey. We had a break in January because I had to cover Agamonia, but we went back to it this month and we've actually played it twice. We played it on the 21st and then again on the 27th, and it was actually really good to go back to it. Part of me was not sure whether I wanted to go back to it, and that is simply because I don't have the time. We want to play Agamonia. We really want to play Agamonia. We also want to play ISS Vanguard. I also want to play Earthborn Rangers. I also want to play Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. There's more as well. I don't have the time to play all of these games. And Aeon Trespass Odyssey has been such a massive time sink for us. I mean, we've put, what, 75, 80 hours into the game so far? Which it deserves, you know, it needs that. It's a big epic campaign game. But after having the break, I was thinking, do we want to go back to it? Now, we did go back to it. I think it would be unfair to the other players. It'd be unfair to the game. It'd be unfair to anybody watching the videos. These are all live streamed for Patreon supporters because we want to finish the cycle one story. And we are close to the end. We're on day 59 of a potential 80-day campaign, but we are on the last leg of the journey. We have to collect a certain number of progress and reach a particular destination. We're already halfway to collecting that amount of progress, and getting to that location is just a matter of time. We just move through. But in addition to the main storyline, we've got all of our personal storylines that we're really enjoying. And I can't say too much without giving away any spoilers, but I'm going to put a picture on screen right now of the Hemesian Pursuer, which I've finished painting recently. Yes, we had a fight with the Hemesian Pursuer, and we actually killed it, which is quite a big achievement. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. That's Aeon Trespass Odyssey. We are going to be playing that for probably at least another couple of months. And again, if you are a Patreon supporter, these are live streamed. Tuesday nights is our regular night, and you can watch us play. Next up, on the 22nd of February, I played two games of Reign of Hades. Now, the first of these videos is coming to the channel probably next week. And the second of these videos is probably coming the week after. This is a new game which is coming to Kickstarter on the 20th of March. And it's designed, one of the designers is Richard Amann, who is a co-founder of Mind Clash Games. Richard is no longer with Mind Clash Games, but he's now got his new company called Legend Crafters. And he's got together with somebody else, Attila, and they have designed Reign of Hades. I played two games of it on the 22nd. These were remote playthroughs with the designers teaching me how to play the game. And you'll see this video next week when it goes live. I had the physical copy of the game here. I was connecting to them over Discord and we were chatting with them. They could see what I could see, and basically they taught me how to play the game. Keep an eye out for this. I was impressed by this game. This is another campaign-driven game divided into a series of chapters, but it isn't just a boss battler. Each of the chapters that you play, each of the scenarios that you play, combines narrative elements in with the actual fighting, in a similar way that Agamemnon is. In other words, you are not just reading a little bit of story and then you have a fight. It's not that. It is, you read a little bit of story and then here's an adventure. And you play through that adventure. And as that adventure unfolds and you move your pieces around the board, you will be unlocking story points. You will be doing things that will cause you to read other bits of narrative. So it's an actual adventure game. It's not just going around fighting. It's doing other stuff as well. I've played the first two scenarios, which are tutorials. There's two tutorials to get you started with this game. And I've now played both of them. And I'm looking forward to playing the next scenario, which is actually scenario two. So there's the prologue, scenario one, and both of those are classed as tutorial missions. So yeah, the video will be coming out next week for that. So that's Reign of Hades, and it'll be coming to Kickstarter. No, it'll be coming to GameFound on the 20th of March. Right, next up, on the 23rd, and also on the Monday. Why have I got also on the Monday? Oh yeah, so on the Monday of that week, it was a very busy week. On the Monday of that week, I learned how to play a game called Flow, F-L-O-E, which, and there's a running theme here, this is on Kickstarter. It's actually on Kickstarter right now. But on the Monday, one of the playtesters, Bill, taught me how to play the game, and we played it over Tabletop Simulator. That was all in preparation for me covering it on the channel on Friday. So this is on the channel now, if you want to see it. It was a tutorial and playthrough of Flow. Now, Flow, the team behind Flow are pretty much the same team from Fantasia Games. Johnny Pat Canting is on board as a... He's the lead designer of this one. Andrew Bosley is the artist for the game, but there's a lot of other people behind it as well. So I'll be honest with you. When I learned how to play Flow, and in fact, I didn't just learn it from Bill on the Monday. The week before, I'd sat down, I'd read through the rulebook, and I tried to learn the game myself. And after that, I came away from this feeling completely overwhelmed. I was like, whoa, there is a lot in this game. There's like 12 mini games all put together into one, and the mechanisms for each of those is different. And I thought, oh, this is too much. This game is too much. I was actually expecting a family weight game. It's not a family weight game at all. It might look like a family weight game from the box, but it is not a family weight game. You would have to literally strip out 2/3 of the game in order for it to be a family weight game, right? I'm giving you my opinions after my first game. Then I played it with Bill on Tabletop Simulator on the Monday. And that was needed because there were certain rules that I wasn't 100% sure of. And also the game is still in development. So actually what happened is they let me know some rules changes that they've made. And what that meant was that I had to update my physical prototype ready for the playthrough on the 23rd. So what happened is when I covered the game on the 23rd, the version of the game that we played is different from all of the ones covered by the other content creators. So just bear that in mind. If you are interested in Flow and you are going to watch videos from multiple different content creators, bear in mind the version that I used was a more up-to-date version and therefore some things were different. And I'm saying that because if any of the other content creators have any feedback or criticisms about the game, those criticisms might have already been fixed in the version that I played. Certainly the map layout in what I used was slightly different. But as I say, the game is not finished yet. The game is still in development. Anyway, we got together for the 20th and we did a 3-player playthrough on the channel. And I went into this game thinking, oh, I am not looking forward to doing this teach. Because whilst it's not an overly complicated game, there's just so many different bits of the game. And oh, I've now got to explain how that bit works. And I've now got to explain how this bit works. And I've now got to explain how this bit works. Oh, and you're now going to do that. Oh, well, that's a completely different game. Let's explain how that bit works. But it actually went a lot better than expected. It, pun not intended, it flowed really well. And suddenly, I think I did the teaching maybe 20, 25, 30 minutes. Okay, I didn't explain the cave rules. But actually, having played it a couple of times, I suddenly went, like, things clicked. And I'm like, oh, actually, this is nowhere near as overwhelming as I initially thought it was. And it just started going really well. And the other two people picked it up. I remember Rob commented after we'd switched the cameras off that he really enjoyed it. He actually felt like he was playing an adventure game and going places and doing things. And yeah, it went really well. So if you're interested in that, definitely check out the video. But have trust in the developers behind this game. Because it's almost the same team that's done Unconscious Mind. And Unconscious Mind, when it was on Kickstarter, needed some tweaks. And they made the game better. And it's going to be the same with Flow. I've already spoken to them about a few things. And they are already looking at tweaking things, improving things. So, yeah. That's that. And as I say, it's on Kickstarter right now if you're interested in that. Next up, on the 25th of February, there was a games day at the Cranbrook Games Group. And I played Voidfall, because why not? Again, 1-hour setup, 4-hour game. Not possible to play this in an evening, but I'd arranged a game of Voidfall. It was going to be four players. Unfortunately, one player couldn't make it, so we did a 3-player game. It was great, as usual, and we did have some player versus player combat. I came last by a long way. I don't quite know how I came last. I think I scored 240 points. Marcus got, I think, just over 300 and Sam got about 315 or 320 or something. So yeah, I came last by a long way and I thought I was doing quite well, but clearly not. So yeah, Voidfall, fantastic game. Really, really loved it. I can't remember which scenario it was. Second Genesis, I think it was. Yeah, Second Genesis, 3-player competitive. Then I really wanted to play Terminus. Unfortunately, there wasn't going to be enough time. So we played World Wonders instead. World Wonders is a fantastic game. I haven't actually covered this on the channel yet, but I have played it about 4 or 5 times. Yeah, it's really, really good game. And I'm due to cover it at some point on the channel. But yeah, very, very good game. And yeah, that's World Wonders. I think I've spoken about that before. Right, that's pretty much the end of all of the games that I've played, except testing. So in the background, in addition to those games, we've done some testing for box number 4 in the Side Quest series of puzzle games from Board and Dice. So I've already spoken about box number 3 that hasn't been announced yet, but I can't say what that is, but we did that last year. This was box number 4, which is also based on another board game related IP. Feel free to have a guess at which one it is. We did that. We've also done some testing for Unlock 12, so the next box set for Unlock. We've tested two of the scenarios of that. We got one more to do next week, and Perspectives 2. So we've tested two of the scenarios from the next Perspectives box. Yeah, and I've also done some rulebook consultancy for a game called Split the Horde from EN Publishing, which is a very light, fun card game based on sort of D&D, where you've raided the dragon's horde and you're trying to split the treasure up between the players. So yeah, I did that. Online play. So games that I've played online is actually not many in the last month. I've got a game of Sky Mines that I mentioned earlier on, which I played on Yukata. I've got a game of Heat, which was the round three of the tournament. And I love Heat. I think Heat is a fantastic game and I really, really enjoy playing it. I had the most unbelievable bad luck. Now, this is round three in a tournament where I'm doing quite well. And when I'm doing quite well in a tournament, I mean, I always like to try and put in effort in games anyway, but I decided I'm going to put in more effort in this game. And on my turn, I was really, really thinking, properly thinking about, right, what cards am I going to play? Am I going to keep this card? Am I going to discard this? Am I going to do this? Am I going to save this? Which is why Heat is so good. You've got to plan for the upcoming corners. You can't go into fourth gear and then suddenly go, oh, wait a minute, there's a speed three corner. Oops. You've really got to think ahead. And I was really putting in so much mental effort into this game. And it was very close. There were three of us, like two corners from the end, that were really, really close together. And I was really aiming to get the win. And I was hoping to get the win. And I'd made some moves that really worked out well. Anyway, I then had a move which would have secured me the win, because it meant I could have gone across a corner at just the right speed that I would have had no heat left, but it would have been the last corner in the game, and I would have come out in like second gear, which meant I could have gone to third gear next round. Meanwhile, the other two players that are right next to me, they would have been a turn behind. They would have still been behind the corner. Yeah, I put so much effort into this. Anyway, it did involve me drawing two stress cards. And as long as I didn't draw two fours, I mean, what's the chance of that? There's one four already in my discard pile. I've got about 12 cards left in my deck. There are two fours in the deck. But as long as this stress card, or these two stress cards, as long as I don't draw the two fours, I'm okay. Anything else and I'm fine. And I drew the two fours. So that happens. It's luck. But I don't know what the chances of that happening were. Infinitesimally small, but it happened to me. So I span out. I got stuck behind the corner and the other two players breezed past me. But then on the next turn, after you spin out, you start off in first gear. I had no heat cards in hand. So I've got no heat in my engine and I've got no heat cards in my hand. So I'm in first gear. So I moved two spaces. I didn't have any choice. And I had no heat, so I couldn't cool down. And then the next round, I ended up in second gear. Anyway, on the next turn of the game, which was going to be my last turn of the game, I managed to play, I think, like three or four stress cards or something like that. Or I had a card which is two stress. Anyway, I drew four stress cards. And I got 1-1-1-2. And it's just like, oh dear. So I ended up coming fifth. I mean, it was exciting. It was very, very exciting. But it was just, I needed therapy. I actually needed therapy after that game, because it's a tournament and points matter and just unbelievably bad luck. Anyway, that was my game of Heat online. Still a great game. I also played a couple of games of Jump Drive. Now, I've never played Jump Drive before. Jump Drive is the shorter, streamlined version of Race for the Galaxy. I've always wanted to try it. And one of my patron supporters organised a game online on Board Game Arena. And I went, sure, let's have a game of that. So I've played two games of Jump Drive. The first game, I didn't really know what I was doing. The second game, I had a bit more of an idea of what I was doing. I definitely play it again. I need to play it a bit more. But I quite liked it as a much shorter, simpler game. It did exactly what it says on the tin. A shorter, simpler version of Race for the Galaxy. Probably not as good, but I still enjoyed it. Right, that's it. That's it for all of the games that I've played. Whew, I'm going to need two cups of tea after this video. Right, other content that has been on the channel. Unboxing videos for Mythwind, unboxing videos for Terminus. They are on the channel. If you like watching unboxing videos, they are there. There are also two Kickstarter preview videos. Something new for this year is that I'm doing Kickstarter preview videos, but I'm not doing them. Mark Monk from Ninja Geek Games, he's doing them, but they are appearing on my channel. I say it's a new thing this year. I've done two of them. I have no plans to do any more. But if another publisher contacts me and says, Paul, we'd like a Kickstarter preview video, I will then speak to Mark and say, Mark, do you want to do another Kickstarter preview video? So we did one for Dante Inferno, and we did one for Dying Light from Glass Cannon Unplugged. I am curious to know what you think about them. Are you okay with Kickstarter preview videos created by other content creators other than me appearing on the channel? I don't see any problem with it. I can't do those videos myself. I don't have the time to do those videos myself. And also, I don't have the skill set to do videos like that. It's a different kind of content that I don't feel I can do. I have the publishers asking me to do those videos, and the publisher is happy that Mark is doing the videos instead of me. So, and Mark deserves more credit because Mark does amazing good quality videos, and he's a relatively small channel and he doesn't get as many views as he deserves. So hopefully with these, it will drive a little bit more views to his channel and things like that. And I'm paying him to create the videos. So it's paid work. I don't see any problem with it. I'm certainly not intending to this become a, five different videos a week from other people. It was just an experiment that I wanted to do because I wasn't able to do the work myself. But I'm curious to see what you think about it. Also, there was the Q&A. In the live Q&A for February, I was asked a question that, do I have any sneak preview of New World Order? New World Order is the next game from the people who designed Hegemony. And I was asked, because I have a relationship with those designers and I did some paid work on Hegemony, do I have any sneak preview information about New World Order? And I said, no, I don't, but I will get some. So on screen now is three of the ability cards and three of the country cards. This is a worldwide exclusive. Nobody has seen these before at all. Now, no, these are not final. The graphic design on these cards is not final. They are still considering some alternatives, but this is a very, very sneak preview of six of the cards from the upcoming game, New World Order, from the people who brought us Hegemony. There you go. That's it. So thank you very much for asking that question, and thank you very much to the designers for giving me this opportunity to give you some sneaky information. Will I be covering New World Order? I hope to. I really hope to, because I really like the idea of it. Right, coming up soon over the next few weeks. Well, tomorrow we're going to be playing La Granja. La Granja, the deluxe master set I got at the end of last year from Board and Dice, and I haven't actually covered it on the channel yet. I did a poll earlier this week with my Patreon supporters, and La Granja was voted on it just won the vote. So we're going to be covering that tomorrow. So if you're interested in that, that'll be on the channel tomorrow. Next week, I've got two interviews lined up. One of them is going to be going out live. The other one is not going to be going live. It's going to be pre-recorded, but then will be made live soon afterwards. The first one is going to be about Abundance, which is the expansion to Earth. So I'm going to be interviewing Max, the designer, and Connor from Inside Up Games. That's the one that's not going to be going out live. So I'm actually recording it with them on the Thursday, and it'll be going live soon after. I don't quite know when. The other interview, I can't say too much about it yet. I'm allowed to announce it on Monday. But what I will tell you is that it's an expansion for a game which I love, which hasn't had any content for many years. Feel free to have a guess at what that might be, but I will be announcing it on Monday. The actual interview will be a live stream on the Wednesday, but I will be announcing what it is on the Monday. So, yeah. Next Friday, I'm going to be covering a new game from Chip Theory Games, which is Roth, which I don't know much about yet, but there is a copy at somewhere over the Pacific or even over the Atlantic. It's somewhere, somewhere in the world. There is a copy of Wrath on the way to me. Also, on the 13th of March, I am doing a Galactic Cruise playthrough with the designers, where we're going to be showing off some of the expansions. That's the 13th of March. It's going to be played on Tabletop Simulator. Really looking forward to playing that game, because the only people I've played the game with are people I've taught how to play the game. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin. I will be covering it, if and when it arrives. I don't know when it arrives, but, you know, Awakened Realms have agreed to doing a sponsored playthrough for that, and it hasn't arrived yet. The Reign of Hades videos, as I've mentioned, they've been filmed. I need to edit them, and I'll be releasing those. I'm going to be doing Windmill Valley as well next month, which is a new game coming from Board and Dice. That was down for May. I had that scheduled in for May, but they contacted me 2 days ago and said, Paul, can you bring it forward a bit? And I said, maybe. When? And they said, March. And I was like, I don't know. Let's have a look at my schedule. And I managed to find a slot where I could fit it in. At the end of this month, in fact, on Good Friday, which I think is the 29th of March, 2024. Let me just have a look at my calendar. 29th of March. Yes, Friday, 29th of March, 2024. In the evening, I will be doing Mythwind. So it'll be me, Becky and Emily, and we're going to be doing three-player Mythwind. That's happening at the end of March. Other things, the Terminus How to Play video is almost done. But I'm not going to be releasing that until it's close to backers getting their copy, which is not going to be for at least another month or two, I think. And the Aeon Trespass videos are also on hold at the moment while I wrap up a lot of other projects. But I will be getting those finished as well at some point in the next couple of months. And next week, I'm going to be starting work on Inventions, the How to Play video for Inventions, Vital Lacerda's latest big box game, which is going to be delivered to backers at some point in the next couple of months. I'm going to be starting on that. Right. One thing I do want to talk about now is the amount of sponsored videos that I have covered in the last month, and in fact, I'm going to be covering in the next month, and the amount of those videos that are for upcoming Kickstarter games. And I just want to talk about this because there might be some people that have watched this video log or have been watching the channel and have gone, wait a minute, Paul was just doing lots and lots of playthroughs of games that he wanted to cover, and now his entire channel has just become adverts for games coming to Kickstarter, right? I haven't made any change whatsoever. This is just how things have worked out. So for those of you that don't know, the last 3 months of 2023, I did hardly any sponsored work. Almost all of the videos that I was doing at that time were not sponsored. They were games that I'd got, games that I wanted to cover, games that my Patreon supporters wanted to see. And I was actually getting a little worried. I was actually thinking, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? All of these other channels are doing paid sponsorship video, paid sponsorship, like two or three a week. And I've got a real dry spell where I don't seem to be doing very much. And I was thinking, what's going on here? But all I needed to do was look ahead to my calendar, because what's actually happened is it's gone from one extreme to the other. And this isn't down to any choice that I've made. This isn't down to any changes that I have decided to make. This is just the fact that right now there is a huge amount of games that are launching on Kickstarter, and I've agreed to do coverage for them because I generally have an interest in these games. I'm not saying yes to every bit of work I get offered. I am trying to be picky and choosy, and I'm not taking on too much. But there's been an awful lot. And in fact, yeah, this last month, Galactic Cruise, Dante, Flow, Steam Power, and the next month we've got Reign of Hades, we've got Windmill Valley, which I don't think is going to be crowdfunding, but it is a sponsored video for an upcoming game. Tainted Grail, Mythwind, all of that. It's just, there's a lot going on. So what I'm keen to do is I'm keen to try to keep balancing it out with non-sponsored playthroughs. And I'm trying to do that where I can. So tomorrow night, La Granja, not sponsored. So, you know, at the moment, there are probably a higher percentage of sponsored videos than there are non-sponsored videos, but I've tried to give the extra ones in. So the playthrough of Earthborn Rangers from last month wasn't sponsored. The Pathfinder Adventure Card Game wasn't sponsored. I want to do more. I really do want to do more. It's just a case of time. Right. And yeah, I say I do have a number of non-sponsored videos planned, and I did, but because some of them are rough, that's why they're Patreon only. And I mentioned this earlier on. The reason why the Earthborn Rangers was Patreon only is because, unlike La Granja tomorrow night, I've actually booked out the afternoon, taken tomorrow afternoon off work to basically get the game out, set it up, learn the game, and do all of that. It takes a lot of time to do that, and because there's been a lot of paid work in, I'm not able to put in the same amount of time for the non-sponsored videos, which means they're rough, which means I'm not comfortable with them being public, which is why they are a bonus to my Patreon supporters. And speaking of Patreon, it's been a bit of a strange month. First of all, at the start of the month, Into the Unknown, who are the publisher behind A and Trespass Odyssey, they announced the collaboration that I'm going to be doing with them. Now, that collaboration was agreed back in May or June of last year, and I've actually been working really hard for 6 months on these videos, but they didn't actually announce it. So at the start of this month, they announced the official collaboration between Gaming Rules and Into the Unknown that I will be producing these videos for them. And within a few days, I gained about 15 new supporters, which was great. I mean, it was crazy. It was like, yeah, one every couple of hours for about 3 days. So, gained about 15 or 20 new supporters within a few days at the start of the month. Then you have the usual gradual decline and ups and downs and this, that, and the other. And yesterday, 4 people left. So, it's just how it is. I've also, in the last month, had something which hasn't really happened before. About 5 people have joined and left in the same day. Now, when they join, they still get charged for that month, which is like $3. Presumably, they've done it in order to get access to this bonus content. They get the access, they go, thank you very much, and then they leave the Patreon. One person even joined and left within 30 minutes. And left a comment on one of the videos. So, yeah. There's nothing I can do about that. It's just that's how it is. The system is there. If you sign up to Patreon, then you get access to the content. You can then leave the Patreon. Unfortunately, that $3 that they paid for the privilege of doing that, it cost me more than that in admin time to add them and remove them to the various systems. But that's just how it is. Right now, we are standing at an amazing 1,084 active members, which is just insane. It's phenomenal. So thank you very much to all of you for your support. On screen now is a list of all of the supporters that joined in February 2024. And as I always mention, if you are a returning Patreon supporter who used to be with me, left and has come back, your name unfortunately does not appear on this list because the report doesn't show you on there. But yeah, a big thank you to all of you for your support because, you know, videos like this, again, this video is not sponsored in any way. I don't get paid any money for creating this video and it pretty much takes me an entire day. Well, I spent 3 hours yesterday planning it, filming it this morning, editing it this afternoon. It's pretty much a day to a day and a half off work to create this video. And that and things like tomorrow, taking tomorrow afternoon off work, taking tomorrow evening to play La Granja. And yes, I'm playing games with friends, and you might think, well, Paul's just playing games with friends. No, there's a huge amount of work that goes into setting the studio up. It's a lot. So thank you very much to all of you for your support, because without your support, none of that stuff would happen. Right, let's talk about giveaways. So I announced last month that I was going to start a series of giveaways. Every month I'm going to be doing a giveaway, and last month I announced that I was going to be giving away a copy of Perspectives. This is from Space Cowboys, distributed by Asmodee, and Asmodee UK have sent me this copy of Perspectives, which I'm going to be giving away to somebody. Now, the reason for me doing these giveaways is to celebrate reaching 50,000 subscribers on Patreon. Not Patreon. YouTube. Whoa, I wish. 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. But the reason I didn't mention this last month is because I was very, very close to 50,000 but I didn't actually make 50,000. I made 50,000 at the start of this month. So I didn't want to mention it in January's video log in case I jinxed it. But as it is, we are now over 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you very much to all of you who subscribe. And yeah, it was basically to celebrate that. But again, although I've been given this free copy of this game, I'm not making any money out of this. I'm just giving this on. And in order to win this, you basically needed to fill in a form. And I did the draw this morning and Hilmar won. Congratulations, Hilmar. Thank you very much for your support. Now, Hilmar's in Iceland. I don't really want to send this to Iceland. It's probably going to be really expensive for me to send this to Iceland. Thankfully, I'm seeing Hilmar at UK Games Expo in a few months. So I'm going to give him this at UK Games Expo. So this is Perspectives. I mentioned Perspectives earlier on because I'm currently doing the testing for Perspectives 2, which is the next box in the series. And yeah, I hope you enjoy these. So that's that. Now, this month's giveaway is Waterfall Park. So again, also donated by Asmodee UK. This is from Repos Productions. This is the new version of Chinatown. Chinatown is a game that came out in the late 90s and is one of the first games that I played when I was seriously getting into board games. This is effectively the same game, but with a completely different theme. Now, I'm doing the giveaway slightly different this month. There is still a form. There is a link to that form in the description of this video, and you still need to fill in the form in order to enter the contest, but you also need to leave me a comment in this video. Leave me a comment in this video and just tell me which of the games that I have talked about in this video are either your favourite or the one that you're most looking forward to playing. Either way, just leave me a comment, let me know that, and then when you fill in the Google form, put in your YouTube username in there so that I can match them up. I will do the draw probably at the end of March, probably the day before I record this video log again. And yeah, I will get this game to you somehow, unless you live in Iceland, and then I might not. But anyway, Waterfall Park. Good luck to everybody who wants to enter that. Anybody can enter the contest, but if you are a Patreon supporter, you will get additional entries. This is because I want to make the contest open to everybody, but I also want to have my Patreon supporters with a higher chance of them winning, because they're the people that make this channel possible, and they're the people who make these giveaways possible. So yes, thank you very much for that. In final news, we've got three new members of the family. I'll put some pictures on screen now. We've got three new mice. This is Snowy, Daisy, and Rosie. We got them a couple of weekends ago, and they are very, very cute. In fact, they are downstairs. They're right down here. I've had to move them from downstairs for today, so they're currently sleeping down there. But yeah, we got three new mice. Also, we did a 3D jigsaw. This is our first 3D jigsaw that we've ever done. We completed this over a series of many, many, many days, and I really enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed doing it a lot more than I thought I would. So yeah, this is a 3D jigsaw. I got given this as a present about 10 years ago, and it's just sat in the cupboard. Never got round to doing it, and I'm really glad that we did. TV-wise, we finished The Expanse Season 5, so we have one season left of The Expanse to go. I've been really enjoying that. Each season has definitely felt very different from the last. But yeah, that's what we were doing. That's what we were watching while doing the 3D jigsaw. We've also watched the TV series Ms. Marvel, because we have Disney Plus, and that was good. And we've also watched The Marvels, which is okay. It was better than expected, because I think it didn't do that well. I'm also offline. I'm still going through Man in the High Castle. I'm on season 3 at the moment. I'm about halfway through season 3 of Man in the High Castle. And audiobooks. For those people interested, whenever I go to the gym or if I'm driving or anything like that, I like listening to audiobooks. And the ones that I'm listening to at the moment are the Cthulhu Casebooks. I'm on book 1, but I'm listening to them out of sequence. I accidentally started listening to the second one first. These books are really interesting. They are physical books, but I can't really read these days, so I listen to audiobooks. It combines the Cthulhu mythos with Sherlock Holmes. I love Sherlock Holmes. I've always been a Sherlock Holmes fan, and I do like the Cthulhu mythos as well. These books are really well written. So if you're interested in that, the audiobooks are available. They're called the Cthulhu Casebooks. And yeah, they're just really good. And that's it. That is everything. I have no idea how long this video is. going to take me all day to edit this. Thank you very much to all of my Patreon supporters again for making these videos possible. Thank you very much to everybody who's watched these videos. And as I say, leave me a comment. Let me know what are the games that I've talked about you're interested in. Let me know what you think the announcement is going to be for next week for the interview. Let me know what you think Game 4 in the Side Quest series is going to be. And yeah, that's everything. I will see some of you tomorrow for the Lagrange playthrough and for the rest of the videos in the month. Until next time, take care and thanks for watching.